Welcome to the Catholic Communications Network's Lent and Easter Reflections, third Sunday of Easter. In a moment, we'll listen to the Gospel reading, then we'll hear the thoughts of Bishop Vincent Malone, retired Auxiliary Bishop of Liverpool. Luke, chapter 24, verses 13 to 35.
That very same day, two of them were on their way to a village called Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking together about all that had happened. It had happened that as they were talking together and discussing it, Jesus himself came up and walked by their side, but their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. He said to them, "What are all these things that you are discussing as you walk along?" They stopped, their faces downcast. Then one of them, called Cleopas, answered him, "You must be the only person staying in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have been happening here these last few days." He asked, "What things?" They answered, "All about Jesus of Nazareth, who showed himself a prophet, powerful in action and speech before God and the whole people, and how our chief priests and our leaders handed him over to be sentenced to death and had him crucified. Our own hope had been that he would be the one to set Israel free. And this is not all. 2 whole days have now gone by since it all happened, and some women from our group have astounded us. They went to the tomb in the early morning, and when they could not find the body, they came back to tell us that they had seen a vision of angels who declared he was alive. Some of our friends went to the tomb and found everything exactly as the women had reported, but of him they saw nothing." Then he said to them, "You foolish men, so slow to believe all that the prophets have said. Was it not necessary that the Christ would suffer before entering into his glory?" Then, starting with Moses and going through all the prophets, he explained to them the passages throughout the scriptures that were about himself. When they drew near to the village to which they were going, he made as if to go on, but they pressed him to stay with them, saying, "It is nearly evening, and the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. Now while he was with them at table, he took the bread and said the blessing, and then he broke it and handed it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, but he had vanished from their sight. Then they said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us as he talked to us on the road and explained the scriptures to us?" They set out that instant and returned to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 assembled together with their companions, who said to them, "The Lord has indeed risen and has appeared to Simon." Then they told their story of what had happened on the road and how they had recognized him at the breaking of bread.
Today's reflection on the Gospel comes from Bishop Vincent Malone, retired Auxiliary Bishop of Liverpool.
Breaking bread is a phrase with many overtones. Breaking sounds like destruction of some kind. Bread is the stuff of life, an essential resource, even in the underworld, meaning of money or dough. So breaking bread could have something to do with destroying life. But as a combined phrase, breaking bread is more likely to refer to sharing life's resources. Breaking not in order to destroy, but partially depriving oneself in order to share. That sharing introduces another dimension of meaning, the experience of being together with someone in the eating of bread, which we call bread togetherness or companionship. The breaking, the sharing, the invitation comes from those who have to those who have not. So breaking bread with someone can mean charitable giving to that other person at one's own sacrifice. And the phrase takes on a whole new richness of meaning with the action of Jesus at the Last Supper, on the eve of his passion and death, as described by St. Luke in these words, "He took some bread, and when he had given thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which will be given for you. Do this as a memorial of me.'" Or as St. Paul reports to the Corinthians, "This is what I received from the Lord and in turn passed on to you, that on the same night that he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and thanked God for it and broke it And he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this as a memorial of me." St. Luke again tells us in the Acts of the Apostles how the early Christians responded to that command, "Do this as a memorial of me." He says, "The disciples remained faithful to the teaching of the apostles, to the brotherhood, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers." Small wonder that in the passage from the Gospel which we read in church today, St. Luke declares that the disciples on the road to Emmaus on Easter Sunday, having failed to recognize the stranger who fell in with them on their journey, have their eyes opened when he broke bread. While he was with them at table, he took the bread and said the blessing. Then he broke it and handed it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. In modern times, this sacramental breaking of bread is sometimes named by its companionship as Holy Communion. Sometimes it's named by the commission then laid on the companions to go out in mission to the whole world as the Mass. Sometimes it's named by the prayer of thanks with which Jesus prefaced his breaking and sharing of bread as the Eucharist. Sometimes it's named by reference to the breaking and self-denial as the Holy Sacrifice. The different parts which are identified by these partial names are inseparable in the total Christian meaning of the breaking of bread. You can't have the missioning without the companionship. You can't have the companionship without the breaking of bread. You can't have the breaking of bread without the implicit sacrifice. You can't have the sacrifice but by the grace of God to whom we give thanks. A familiar saying reminds us that radical restructuring has to be preceded by deconstructing what is in place, expressed rather more lyrically in the proverb, "You can't make an omelette without breaking eggs." In the ideal Christian society, which has to learn to forswear natural selfishness in order to achieve mutuality, one might say, "You can't make togetherness without sacrifice." Or, with rich sacramental overtones for the Christian, let's put it this way. You can't make Holy Communion without the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, without the sacramental breaking of bread, and all that that implies.
Bishop Vincent Malone there with today's Easter Reflection. For the latest news, resources and information from the Catholic Church in England and Wales, visit www.catholicchurch.org.uk. For our full Lent and Easter section, click on Events.